We continue today with lesson number 25 in our study of Mishnayos Maseches Yoma. And we begin today the seventh perek, Mishnah Aleph and Mishnah Beis. We had left the Kohen Gadol dressed in his special Yom Kippur uniform of Bigdei Lavan, of white linen garments. And at this point, a major, if not most, of the Avodah for Yom HaKippurim has been done. In fact, even the Soir La'azozel, the goat which was sent down the cliff, has at this point been down the cliff, and word has been reported back to the Beis HaMikdash, to the Kohen Gadol, that indeed that act was done. At this point, the Kohen Gadol enters the section of the Beis HaMikdash known as the Ezras Noshim. You can see, when you access this series on the OU website, a simplified map of the layout of the Beis HaMikdash. And at this point, the Kohen Gadol leaves that central area of the Azora, of the temple courtyard, where the Mizbeach is, to the north of the Mizbeach, where he had been in contact with the soil Azazel, and from which he dispatched the Molich, the person who escorted the Soir out into the desert. And now the Kohen Gadol moves eastward into a larger Azora, a larger courtyard known as the Ezras Noshim. And in the Ezras Noshim, the Kohen Gadol is permitted to sit down. In the inner Azora, no one except Malchei Beis David, except kings from the house of David, are permitted to be seated, to sit. They must stand. And yeshiva ba'azoro elo l'malchei beis David bilvat. However, when the Kohen now moved eastward, away from the Mizbeach, away from the inner Azora, to the outer Azora known as the Ezras Noshim, the courtyard of the women, and there was a larger space, and there he was permitted to sit. Bodo Kohen Gadol likros. So the Kohen Gadol came to that outer courtyard. When I say outer courtyard, it's still within the precincts of the Beis HaMikdash, but it's outer in the sense that it's east of the courtyard in which the Mizbeach was, in which the altar was. And at this point, he has been notified that the Soir has reached the Midbar. The goat is already in the desert on the way to be pushed down the cliff. And he comes there likros, because now he has to read the Torah, for the parsha, the portion of the Torah which is read on Yom Kippur. Imrotzo likros bevigdei vutz kore, if he wishes to remain in the garments that he has on him at this point, namely the linen garments, kore, he can leave them on. Vimlo, if he wishes to read in other garments which are more comfortable for him, perhaps the Bigdei Lavan have become dirty in some way, bloodied perhaps, and he wishes to read in a other type of garment, then Kore Be'itztelis Lavan Mishelo. He's permitted to read in a kind of a gown, kind of a long skirt, which he could wear. His own, this is his own property. This is not Bigdei Kohuna. The Gemara explains that the reason why he is allowed at this point to remain in his Bigdei Vutz, in his linen white garments, which are Bigdei Kohuna, which are special sacred garments, even though he is no longer doing the Avoda. Reading the Sefer Torah is not the Avoda. It's not temple worship, so to speak. So how can he wear the Bigdei Kohuna? The reason is because Bigdei Kohuna are permitted to be worn by a Kohen Gadol even as long as he's doing it in the Beis Hamikdash, even if he is not in the process of actual avoda. So if he wants to, he doesn't have to go through the process of changing his clothing. He could remain in the Big Day Vutz. We will see in Mishneh Gimel about the preparations necessary for putting on, taking off the various items of clothing at this from this point forward. But now he is dressed either in the Big Day Vutz or in the Itzdalis Lova. At this point, the Chazan HaKnesses, Chazan, the word Chazan is related to the word Chose, Lachazos, to see. This person is the person who sees to it that the Beis Knesses, the Shul, which was near the Azora on the Temple Mountain, there was a Shul, a Beis Knesses, and there was a Sefer Torah, and the Chazan, who was something like what we would call today the Shamosh, the person who's responsible to see to it that everything is done properly in that Shul, this Chazan HaKnesses, notel Sefer Torah, he takes a Sefer Torah from that shul near the Azora, near the temple courtyard in the Har HaBayis, and he takes a Sefer Torah, v'nosno l'Rosh HaKnesses. The Rosh HaKnesses is the decision maker, kind of like the Gabbai today, the person who decides who will daven, who will read the Torah, who will get maftir, etc. So the Chazan HaKnesses, who was a lower official of that shul, gives it to the Rosh HaKnesses, gives it to a higher official of that shul. The Rosh HaKnesses knows no lasagam. The Rosh HaKnesses, the Gabbai, so to speak, of that shul, gives it to the Skan. The Skan is the backup Kohen Gadol, the person who is in the wings in case the Kohen Gadol becomes invalid as a Kohen Gadol. So this Skan takes it from the Rosh HaKnesses. So we're going upwards from the Shamas to the Gabbai to the Vice Kohen Gadol. But Haskan knows no la Kohen Gadol. And the Skan gives it to the Kohen Gadol himself. The reason for this procedure, the Gemara says, is laharbos b'chvodo shel Kohen Gadol, to give more and more and more honor, ma'alin b'kodesh, upward from the lowly shamash to the gabai, to the skan, up to the Kohen Gadol, v'rov am hadras melech. For Kohen Gadol omeid, the Kohen Gadol stands, and of course the Gemara derives from this, that until this point he may have been seated. If he was seated, he couldn't have been in the Azora proper. He must have been in the outer Azora, the Ezras Noshim, where the Kohen Gadol is permitted to sit. But now, in honor of the Sefer Torah, he stood, Umekabel, and he received the Sefer Torah from the hands of the Skan. V'korei omeid, and he reads in a standing position. V'korei, and he reads the following parshios. Acharemos, he reads from Parshas Acharemos in the Chumash Vayikra, which describes in detail, this is the Kriya that we read today on Yom Kippur morning. He reads from there the entire Parsha describing the Avodas Hayom, describing the procedures of Yom Kippur. V'ach be'osor, and he also reads from Parshas Emor, where there's the Parshas HaMoadim, which talks about all the Yomim Tovim, and there are several psukim there which speak about Esor Lachodesh, about the 10th day of the month of Tishrei, namely Yom Kippur, and he reads from that Parsha as well. Now, being Goleil, rolling the Sefer Torah from Parshas Achremos to Parshas Emor is not a big problem. It's a short distance from Achremos to Emor, and they roll while the Metargeim, while the translator who translates the reading of the Sefer Torah from Hebrew into Aramaic so that everyone can understand, while the Metargeim is translating the last few verses of the reading from Achremos, they roll the Sefer Torah a few columns until it reaches the Parsha of Ach Be'osor in Parshas Emor. Therefore, no one has to wait impatiently while the rolling is being done. And the Kohen Gadol has read those two Parshios, Acharemos and Ach Be'osor. Now, he still has to read what we would call today the Maftir. Now, this is in Parshas Pinchos, which is a long roll, a long galila from Parshas Emor to Parshas Pinchas. And it's Tircha de Tzibura. You're keeping the whole Olam, the whole audience, waiting while you're rolling. So therefore the Kohen Gadol did not roll from Parshas Emor, Ach Be'osor, to Parshas Pinchas, but rather V'goleil Sefer Torah, he rolled it up, U'manicho B'cheko, he did what we would call today, excuse me, Hagba and Galila, closing up the Sefer Torah, and he put it in his lap. Meaning, as the Gemara explains, he put it under his arms, held onto it in an honorable fashion, the Omer, and he declared to the people, Yoser mima shekarosi lifneichem kosuvka. This Sefer Torah is intact. Everything is written there. More than what I have read to you. It's not missing anything, this Sefer Torah. And what I'm about to read to you now orally, bal peh, is also written here. But I'm not going to read it from the Sefer Torah, but rather I'm going to read it ba'al peh. I'm going to read it by heart, so to speak. I'm going to read it from memory. Uve'osor shebechumash ha'pikudim. Chumash ha'pikudim is the way the Mishnah refers to what we call Sefer Bamidbor, the Book of Numbers. And he reads the Parsha, which is the maftir for Yom Kippur for us nowadays. He reads that korei al peh. He reads it by heart. Umevorech oleha shemone brochos. And then he recites a total of 8 brochos. First of all, al hatorah. Al hatorah means before he read Parshas Achremos, he made the brocha al hatorah, the same as we do. Asher boch abonu mikolo amim. That's the brocha before kriyas hatorah. He also, as part of the first of the subsequent brachos, the 8 brachos which follow the Kriyas HaTorah, he made the bracha al HaTorah, Shenosam Lonu Torah Semes, V'chaye Olam Nota B'Suchenu, just as we make the bracha on Shul today. So that's number one. Number two, he recited the bracha V'al HaAvoda. He recited the bracha from Shmona Esrei, which we begin with the words Ritzei Hashem Elokeinu, but he ended it Baruch Ato Hashem Habocher Ba'avodas Amo Yisrael Barachamim. This is a bracha in which we ask the Ribono Shel Olam to accept and to be pleased to find favor in our avoda, in the worship that we just did. That's bracha number two. Bracha number three, V'yal HaHodo'o. He makes the bracha of Modim, as we do in Shmona Esrei. Number four, V'al Mechilas He'ovo. He recites the bracha of Salach Lonu, asking for forgiveness, and ends that bracha, Baruch Ato Hashem, Mocheil Avonos Amo Yisrael Berachamim. So now he has recited al HaTorah, al HaAvoda, al HaHodo, v'al Mechilas Ha'ovon, a total of 4 brachos. Then, v'al HaMikdosh Bifnei Atzmo, he makes a special bracha upon the Avodas Beis HaMikdosh, a special bracha on the temple, praying that the temple be Omeid al Mechono, the temple last and be permanent, and that the Shekhinah Bishruya, that the Shekhinah rest upon the temple and upon the Beis HaMikdosh. And he ends, Baruch Ato Hashem HaShochein B'tzion. That's bracha number 5. The Al Yisrael B'fnei Atzmo. He makes a bracha for the Jewish people. Bracha number 6, that the Shekhinah not be removed, Chas V'Shalom, from the Jewish people. And he ends that bracha, Baruch Ato Hashem, HaBocher B'Yisrael, who has chosen the people of Israel. Here we have, in many Mishnayos in parentheses, V'al Yerushalayim B'fnei Atzmo, that he makes an additional bracha. This would be number 7, if we would count it. But the Gemara says that we do not count this particular bracha. We do not count it, but rather, bracha number 7 is V'al HaKohanim Bifnei Atzmon. He makes a special bracha on behalf of his fellow Kohanim, that the Ribono Shel Olam should accept the Korbanos which the Kohanim offer will he should accept them with favor. And he ends, Baruch atah Hashem mekadesh hakohanim. That's bracha number 7. And finally, bracha number 8, v'al sh'or ha-tefillah. He makes a bracha upon the rest of the tefillah, meaning he makes the bracha that we could call today Shema Koleinu, and ends Baruch atah Hashem Shomeya Tefillah. He thanks God for hearing the prayers of the Jewish people. So that's Mishnah number Aleph. Mishnah number Bey says an interesting thing. There was a huge audience who watched the Kohen Gadol do all these procedures. And there was an audience who watched various other aspects, who watched the departure of the goat and the Kohen who took the goat out into the Midbar. At this point, the part of his soyer, the remains of the cow and the goat that were slaughtered and offered as korbonos, and their blood was sprinkled in the various places which we studied where the blood was sprinkled. Now, the carcasses of that cow and goat are taken out of Yerushalayim and burned there in a special pre-designated place. So now, people would want to see that process. That's an interesting thing, to see how the Parvasor are carried out of the Beis HaMikdash, carried out of the Temple Mount of the Har HaBayis, carried out of the city and burned. But here you had to make a choice. Either you stayed in the audience, in the crowd that was watching the Kohen Gadol and listening to the Kriyas HaTorah, or else you went and watched the burning of the Parvasoyer Michutz Lo'ir outside the city. You couldn't watch the two of them at the same time because they were done simultaneously. At the time the Kohen Gadol was reading, other Kohanim were removing the carcasses of the Parvasoyer and burning them outside the city. So this Mishnah explains that very simply. Aroeh Kohen Gadol Kishahu Korei, a person who was observing, was a spectator, and watched the Kohen Gadol read the Parshios, Eino Roeh Parvasor HaNisrofim. He physically couldn't be in two places at the same time, so he could not observe the procedure of burning the Parvasor. And quite the opposite, Horoe Parvasor HaNisrofim, the spectators who watched the Parvasor being burnt, Eino Roeh Kohen Gadol Kishahu Korei. They could not be present in the Ezras Noshim while the Kohen Gadol was reading the Parshios. V'lo mipnei she'eino rashoi. Not because they weren't permitted to. You had your choice. This is not called passing by one mitzvah and doing another mitzvah, because being a spectator is not really the performance of a mitzvah. So you had your choice. You could be a spectator here, be a spectator there. It was a long distance from the Ezras Noshim, where the Kohen Gadol was reading the Parshios, and the place, Michutz Le'ir, where the Parvasor were being burnt. U'melechas Shineihem Shavo Ka'achas. These two procedures were done at the exact same time. You can't be in two places at once. Mekanish Tansen Levala of Tzvei Chasnes. You can't dance at two weddings. You can't be an observer of these two specific procedures on Yom Kippur. And so we have finished lesson number 25, and in the process have finished the first two Mishnayos of the seventh Perek of Maseches Yomah.